This is Lego Football.
Eccomi, I'm David Farini, your host. It's time for a dose of Serie A, B and C. We pay tribute to a former Azzurro and Milan great for his birthday. Joe Fischetti joins from the Forza Napoli pod and we talk Italia at the Beach Soccer Euros. Benvenuti, welcome to everyone for the Match Day 6 review of Serie A and Italian football in general. Just got back from Cagliari in Sardegna where I've been covering the Eurobeach Soccer League Super Final, effectively a European tournament of the big nations fighting for that European crown. I'll go through all of Italy's performances there and let you know all about the winners as well.
Hello and welcome to Lego Football Podcast.
Napoli, Inter and Milan all getting the job done with very close wins over their opponents on the weekend. Epic Serie A football across the board. Bologna winning following Mihailovic's dismissal. And even Musa Barrow is finally off the board now. Monza earns their first point in Serie A, so congratulations to the Brianzoli, Berlusconi, Galliani and the team there. The news has come in that Giovanni Stroppa has lost his place. His time at Monza is over for now. He's been sacked as their Serie A coach. Raffaele Palladino has taken his place. It's gone from Stroppa's on fire, winning that playoff against Pisa. Well, that is all over. Palladino in, Stroppa is out. Cremonese, two results in 2 weeks. And Udinese, are they the most informed team? Well, yes, they are. Four straight wins over Monza, Fiorentina, Roma, and Sassuolo. And I feel like they've assumed that Sassuolo identity of being a side that's a little bit unpredictable and has that flair in attack with Beto, Dielufeo, and now Samardzic getting involved. We'll also take a look at the Italian club's performances in Europe last week. And as we get ready to go through it all again.
Serie B.
Pisa and Como yet to win a game in the first five. Como with two draws, Pisa just one, and both have lost three in a row. Venezia's problems in front of goal continue. And issues with discipline. They lost and ended the game with a red card as well. Regina and Brescia, they've won three consecutive games in A2, Serie A2, that's what we're calling it. It's basically another Serie A, huge amounts of quality across the 20 clubs in the Italian second division. How are those three sides that got relegated from Serie A doing at this point in the second division? Well, Cagliari, they're in third, three wins and a draw. Genoa in ninth, slipping a little bit, two wins, two draws, and a loss now. Serie B, bear in mind, has only played five rounds. Venezia is down in 16th, one win against Sudtirol, which is their coach's former side, Ivan Javucic. Those four sides that came up from the third division, Bari is undefeated in fifth place, so a big start to their season with two wins and three draws. Palermo in 12th. With two wins and a draw, two losses. Sudtirol in 15th, having won two consecutive now after losing the first three. So Javucic's old side is now above his current side in Venezia. Modena with one win and four losses. They're down in 18th. Let's get into Serie A. I wasn't able to watch Napoli Spezia on the weekend because of beach soccer duties. So we're going to hear from Forza Napoli podcast host Joe Fischetti.
Hi, everyone. Joe Fischetti here from the Forza Napoli podcast. I just wanted to give you a few thoughts on the Napoli Spezia match on Saturday and where else to begin but with the late winner from Giacomo Raspadori. I think that goal changed the narrative for Napoli, for Spalletti, and for Raspadori himself. Had the ball not gone in, I think there would have been three headlines after the match. First, I think we would have been talking about Napoli dropping points again at the Maradona against clubs you would expect them to beat. You could argue that the two losses to Empoli and the loss to Spezia, two of which were at the Maradona, cost Napoli the Scudetto last season. Another headline might have been that Luciano Spalletti outcoached himself again. He was criticized for making too many changes to his squad for the match against Lecce, which resulted in a draw. He rotated quite a bit for this match as well, though he did maintain the 4-3-3 formation. Finally, a third headline might have been that Napoli don't have a suitable replacement for the oft-injured Victor Osimhen. After Giovanni Simeone scored his first ever Champions League goal midweek, Spalletti elected to play Raspadori as a false 9, or perhaps as a 9.5. I don't think Raspadori played poorly necessarily, I thought he worked really hard, He linked up well with his teammates and he put himself in good positions to shoot. However, his finishing was really poor, and for forwards, that can be the difference between a good game and a bad game. But Aspadori did take his final chance of the match, so those were not the headlines. Instead, we're talking about the depth of this Napoli squad that can now find a way to win matches that they might not have won in previous seasons. We're talking about Spalletti's ability to manage his squad during a very busy period in the calendar, and for being bold enough to remove Chavica Kvaratskhelia instead of a struggling Giacomo Raspadori. And we're talking about Raspadori scoring his first ever goal for the Azzurri and setting off the Maradona in the process. A few quick words on Spezia, who gave everything they had in this match. Luca Gotti said in his pre-match conference that Napoli forces Spezia to change something. Spezia played a high line against Bologna in the previous round, and both of the goals they conceded in the 2-2 draw were the result of Marko Arnautovic getting behind the Spezia back line. Of course, we all saw what Napoli did to Liverpool's high press midweek, so it was no big surprise that the change Gotti made was to play in a low block. And credit to Spezia, they employed the low block really well. Napoli had 28 shot attempts in this match, and half of them, 14 of those shots, were blocked. I also thought Bartolomei Drągowski played really well. He made some important saves on Cavada, Anguissa, and Zielinski. One final point on the match, Luciano Spalletti got himself sent off for unsportsmanlike conduct, walking towards the Spezia bench as he celebrated the goal. That means, along with Victor Osimhen, Spalletti will not be available for Napoli's next match, which is a big one against Milan.
Incredible work there from Joe, breaking down and giving us his thoughts about Napoli's rise to the top of the standings once again. Now they're level with Atalanta, who drew against Cremonese, and Milan with that all-important 2-1 away victory against Sampdoria. And they did that with 10 men. So these are the matches that teams must win. Junior Messias opening the scoring for the Rossoneri. Filip Djuricic scoring for Sampdoria. Rafa Leao then sent from the field. Giroud from the spot after Milan were awarded a penalty. A big opportunity missed for the Blue Cercati, though. And they're down in 19th spot with just 2 points. Now Cremonese are equal with them, only Monza below Sampdoria now. Milan technically in third spot, but they are equal with Atalanta and Napoli at the top with 14 points. It's the goal difference that separates them. Napoli with a plus 9, Atalanta with a plus 7. Milan and then Udinese also with plus 6. Udinese on 13 points. The other match on Saturday was Inter hosting Torino. Brozovic with that 89th minute deft touch past Big Vanya. What a ball that was from Barella. Torino had chances themselves, playing much better football in these past 6 to 9 months. But an astonishing finish from Brozovic. Inter now go back up into calculations for top four. We all know they're going to be a big player come April and May. They're on 12 points. The other side at the top is the Bergamaschi Atalanta, La Dea. They were held by Le Tigri, the Tigers of Cremona. Demiral in the 74th minute. It looked like they were going to get over the line, but just 4 minutes later, Valeri with a cool finish on the rebound. Big, big result away from home for Cremonese. Their first away result of the campaign. Let's take a look at the other results. Bologna 2, Fiorentina 1, La Viola suffering at the hands of a demoralized Bologna side that is lacking confidence. They've let go of Siniša Mihajlović. In charge for this game was Vigiani. Fiorentina led through Martinez Quarta, tapping home from close range. Musa Baro and Marko Arnautovic, the two names that you would expect the Rossoblu to look to, they actually got the job done this time. Arnautovic is our top scorer in the league, the Austrian now with 6 goals. And with this win, Bologna and Fiorentina are now level on 6 points apiece in 11th and 12th. Vincenzo Italiano preferring Luka Jovic as a starting center forward. He's in front of Cabral. We'll see how much longer that lasts. I fancy that Cabral will have something to say about this, and he'll be looking to make an impact in the Conference League. Monza has their first point. Stefano Sensi with an extraordinary free kick, his first since joining the newly promoted side from Lombardia. Juan Gonzalez with the equalizer for Lecce. Both of these sides, in fact, are newly promoted. And with this result, Lecce avoids Monza leaping over the top of them and out of the bottom three. Lecce in 17th on 3 points. Monza in 20th place. They have the worst defense in the competition with a negative 11 goal difference. And next is Sampdoria with negative 8. Both of these sides occupy the bottom two places. Let's go to Sassuolo, who hosted Udinese. And I feel like this win is a symbol of a changing of the guard. Udinese taking that role from Sassuolo. Possible seven-sister candidate, the Bianconeri, the Zebras of Friuli. They came from behind to win this. Fratesi had Sassuolo ahead. It was 1-0 at halftime, but 3 goals in the final 15 minutes. Beto, Samadzic, and Beto again. Brilliant performance. And Udinese are in fourth place with 13 points. They're ahead of Inter, Lazio, and Juventus. Andrea Sottil somehow matching it with those staunch Italian allenatori, the managers of Serie A. Epic from him. They got rid of two or three big-name players in the summer transfer market. The Pereira playing on the right wing. There's no Molina, no Soppi. They've moved on. Sassuolo bringing Pinamonti in, and he's not having the impact that some would have thought. Of course, aiding Udinese in this match was the sending off of Ruan, the Brazilian defender, in the 43rd minute. So it all changed after that. But you make your own luck, and Udinese are definitely taking that Sassuolo luck that we've seen in previous seasons. Sassuolo is in 13th place, equal with Fiorentina, Bologna. Lazio, well, they defeated Verona 2-0, and they'll be happy to get some revenge on Hellas after that 4-1 drubbing. Of course, now no Giovanni Simeone to get the poker, the 4-goal haul that he was able to punish the Biancocelesti with last time out. Ciro Immobile with a 68th minute goal, and deep into stoppages was Luis Alberto to wrap it up. Verona into 14th now, and Lazio up into 7th place, leapfrogging Juventus, who dropped points at home. Or perhaps if you'd never watched Serie A before, you'd think that Salernitana was the side that dropped points in their quest for Europe. They're undefeated in 5 now. Candreva and Piątek had the Granata up at halftime 2-0. Plenty of controversy in this game, though. Brema cut the deficit to 2-1. Bonucci in the 93rd minute made it 2-2, and there was a disallowed goal after a VAR ruling for Milik. Some people think that it was offside, others think it was onside. Well, it's 2-2 at the end of the day, guys, and Salernitana had the chance to stave off this Juventus attack that had to come and lay siege at their goal. Salernitana could have gone to 9 points. Max Allegri, the controversy over VAR disallowing Milik's goal to take the attention away from Juve's poor performances for the squad that they've got, the money they've invested, and they really should be doing better, especially at Allianz Stadium in Torino against a Salernitana side that scraped through by the skin of their teeth. Davide Nicola has them playing decent football now. They've now got Piątek up front to join Bonazzoli. Candreva is there to add some experience. Mazzocchi, tremendous on that left side. Daniel Luke, their new central defender, looks good, as does Bron. Luigi Seppe in goal. He's made some big saves. Giulio Maggiore and Koulibaly in the middle have been digging in. And after losing their opening game at home against Roma, they're now 5 undefeated. That big win over Sampdoria 4-0. They've taken a point from Udinese, and now they've taken one from Juventus. The last game of the round was Empoli against Roma. Dybala with a bit of magic in the 17th minute. Bandinelli replied in the 43rd. But Tammy Abraham with the winner. The Giallorossi, they take all the points. They go back up into calculations for the Scudetto. 13 points for them. They sit above Inter and crosstown rivals Lazio. Empoli are down in 16th place with 4 points. We'll take you through the games of the next round. Match day 7 will kick off this Friday. Salernitana hosts Lecce. The occasion, the stage set for both teams here to take points off each other. A potential 6-pointer in the context of relegation here. Although Salernitana supporters will feel optimistic that of a top of the table finish at this point in their current form. Bologna then on Saturday get us underway with the 2 o'clock kickoff against Empoli. The 5 o'clock kickoff would be Spezia Sampdoria, another potential bottom of the table relegation battle. Torino then hosts the night game at home against Sassuolo. Udinese can Inter come at them? A real test for Andrea Sottil here up against Simone Inzaghi. The United Kingdom, this will kick off at 11:30 a.m. Then there's three games at 2 p.m. Cremonese Lazio, Fiorentina Verona, and Monza up against Juventus. Galliani against the old foe, or although he was an admitted Juve supporter at one point, I'm not sure if he still is. The 5 o'clock kickoff is Roma Atalanta, one of the matches of the round, and perhaps the match of the round is Milan at home at the San Siro. Napoli are coming to town. Two teams both on 14 points. They are at the top. This game will dictate terms come May. Surely, that's if Napoli are still around. This will be colossal. There's no Rafa Leao for Milan, and possibly no Victor Osimhen, depending on his status with his recovery. Both teams will be playing in the Champions League this week. Napoli was the only side in the Champions League from Italy to get a win. They trampled over the top of Liverpool, 4-1. Liverpool never looked like they were in it. I had the pleasure of commentating that one last Wednesday. Totally outplayed Klopp's Liverpool. Joe Gomez may be the bidone of the night. And in the face of adversity, with Osimhen going off with an injury, in comes Giovanni Simeone, scores his first goal for Napoli in that beautiful blue shirt. What a moment for him. Disappointment for Inter, who lost at home to Bayern Munich 2-0. Juventus travelled to Paris, came away with nothing after a 2-1 loss. And Milan with a 1-1 draw away at Salzburg. The dream start for Napoli, not so for the other sides. Inter now takes on Vittoria Pilsen. That's on Tuesday. The other three will play on Wednesday due to UEFA moving Napoli's game from Tuesday night to Wednesday night due to a lack of police presence around Glasgow. We won't go too much into that, but they're playing Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Milan will kick off before them against Dinamo Zagreb. That's at the San Siro. And Juventus are at home to Benfica. Big shout out for Roberto Donadoni. And just as the FIGC tweeted out on the weekend, it was Roberto Donadoni's birthday. Let's pay homage to the great man, 59 years of age now. The former coach of Bologna, Parma, Napoli, and Cagliari, also led Italy for a couple of years from 2006 to 2008 in the post-Lippi era. He also represented his country 63 games for 5 goals. Known for his stint with Milan, his first one was 10 years. Then he came back for a couple of seasons after a trip to the Metro Stars in New York. A brilliant, brilliant player, could play anywhere in the midfield. He started his career with Atalanta in 1982. He won the third division title with them. He won the Serie B title also there in 1984. He joined Milan in 1986 and was part of that invincible side which won all the trophies in Europe as a player. He won 6 Serie A titles with Milan, 3 Champions League or European Cup titles as they were known back then. He was a runner-up twice in the mid-90s, 9 other trophies in Milan between Supercoppa Italiana, UEFA Super Cup and Intercontinental Cups. He's been inducted into the AC Milan Hall of Fame, regarded as one of Italy's greatest ever wingers. Could also play in the middle as a box-to-box, could beat players at will. A playmaker, 18 goals in Serie A for Milan, a career that finished in the year 2000. Roberto Donadoni, auguri. A quick look at Serie C Lega Pro. The weekend's results, Padova got on the board with a win. They actually beat Vicenza, so a good response to their first match day loss. That was a 2-1 win for Padova. Trento also with a 4-1 win over Provercelli. 4 goals in the match. In Girone are also between Prosesto and Albino Leffe. Top of the standings there, it is Novara with 2 wins. They lead Lecco, Pordenone, Juventus under 23, and Propatria all with 4 points. At the bottom there is Mantova still without a win. Let's go to Group B of Serie C. Entella with a really good 3-1 away win at Alessandria. Lucchese winning at home by the same scoreline. 4 goals and a red card in the match. Pontedera against Ancona, 2-2. Cararese and Entella are undefeated. They're at the top, 2 wins from 2 games. Alessandria and Torres still without points in 19th and 20th. Girone C, Picerno 3, Foggia 0. Crotone with another win, 2-0 over Monopoli. Catanzaro, 3-0 away win at Taranto. So many goals across the board here. Viterbese 2, Fidelis Andria 2, Potenza 2, Monterosi 2 as well. At the top, 3 teams on 6 points, Catanzaro, Crotone and Pescara. Messina, Foggia and Taranto still without any points after two games.
Hello and welcome to LEGO Football Podcast.
So let me tell you about beach soccer. I was invited to commentate over 4 days in Cagliari. It was the Euro Beach Soccer League Super Final, Europe's greatest nations vying for that European crown. You can go on and check out some of the highlights of these games on the Beach Soccer Worldwide YouTube platform. They're also on Twitter, which we'll link in here, at @beachsoccer_WW. They fall under the FIFA umbrella. Some brilliant football. Italy competed really well. They didn't come away with a title, but it's just the femminile, the women's, the Azzurri's first ever year in international competition, led by the likes of Vecchione, Iannella and Privitera. They fell short in the final going down to Spain. That was a 2-0 win for La Roja. What a side they have. It's unlimited substitutions in beach soccer. It's 3 periods of 12 minutes. If it's drawn at the end of full time, we go into extra time and then penalties. In the group stage, you accumulate 3 points for a win. If you win it in extra time, it's 2 points. And if you win on penalties, it's just the 1 point. Breathtaking football, bicycle kicks. They are nonstop. The volleys coming in, outrageous attempts from all parts of the pitch. The ball deviates right to left. It's like watching Shane Warne spin a cricket ball. A monumental tournament. And what a picturesque setting on Poeto Beach in Cagliari, in Sardinia. In the men's, Italy were eliminated in the semi-finals. They lost out to Portugal. Portugal is the top-ranked nation on the planet. Switzerland, though, with an emphatic win in the final. It was 5-5 with just a few seconds left and a bicycle kick from an angle. Dejan Stankovic with a bicycle kick, in fact. What a finish that was. Exquisite football, exquisite beach soccer. Glorious, in fact. Some of the names in that final, there's the Martins brothers. They're twins, Brazilian-born. They represent Portugal. Glenn Hoddle as well for Switzerland. He's the bicycle kick king. But the goal of the final, and I really encourage you to go and look this up, is Noel Ott for Switzerland. This bicycle kick from basically halfway that has steamed in to that top corner past the Portuguese keeper Andrade. I can't recommend it enough. Beach soccer, it has won me over. Some of the nations there in the men's, there were two groups. Germany was there. They finished in 10th. France, Poland, Ukraine, Azerbaijan, Estonia as well, with Portugal and Switzerland topping Group B, Spain and Italy topping Group A in the men's. Some of the Italian names, Josep Jr. at the back, he's a big fella. Casapieri in goal, Fazzini, Giordani, and Gordi is the number 10. Real skillful kind of player. He scored 5 goals in a 10-3 win over Germany last week. England didn't quite make the semis in the women's, but they've got a fantastic squad as well. They were pipped by the Ukraine. Let's give the Beach Soccer website a plug. That's beachsoccer.com. You can see all the images. They've also got their own channel on Recast, like some of the big European outdoor clubs like Manchester City. They are there. You can watch the replays of the games. You can also see up-and-coming tournaments. Minkia. I've also put together a little compilation of some of my highlights, recording with my phone. I'll be adding some of the best moments of this tournament to that video. I'm at @DavidFarini_ on Twitter. I'll throw it on Instagram as well. We'll put it up on the LEGO Football page on Facebook. And a big thank you to the Beach Soccer family for having me. A big thank you also to Joe Fischetti from the Forza Napoli pod for contributing this week. As usual, please support us wherever you can. Do give us some feedback if you can on some of the platforms like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever it is. Join us on Facebook. Continue to follow us on Twitter. We're @LegoFootball, bringing you all the best in Italian calcio in the first, second, and third divisions. I'm David Perini, Italian football commentator, and also doing some other competitions now, including beach soccer. I thank you for joining us once again. Ci sentiamo.
This is Lego Football.